Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of our program. It's Dare to be Different. It's just wonderful to have you tuning in. And this morning we've got a new promo going out and thoroughly enjoying that one. And thank you to everyone who's put that together. Looking out of the windows of the studio of Radio Islam, beautiful, you know, brilliant sunshine, beautiful and blue skies. And we haven't had rain for a couple of days, but we are truly blessed. I must say to you, I'm not too sure how we read the weather, but that's all in control of the Almighty. And it's been quite cold for, you know, Saturday, and Friday and Saturday, but the weather seems to have settled down. We're now in one of the most beautiful periods of the year, and that's the period of autumn, and it's not as dramatic as it'd be in other parts of the world. We don't have a long period, perhaps in the UK, in the USA, they refer to it as autumn, and that will be referred to as the fall. And in Japan, where you find the leaves being, you know, on the trees and so forth, turning crimson and then finally falling down. Beautiful, beautiful. And we definitely and truly blessed this morning. We've got a guest with us, and that's Arina Duvenaga. She has been with us last week. She's excited many of us and has given us so much information that we thought it's only fair that we continue the conversation. Hi, good morning, Arina.
Good morning, Ismail. How are you doing there in Joburg?
Thank you very much. I can see you, Doug. We're going to make us a bit jealous. We're not in Joburg. Where about are you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm sitting at the most southern point of Africa, and that is Legalis and Strathspey, one of the most beautiful towns that you can have in South Africa.
And while we're talking about that, just tell us about the weather. And I know, why is it so beautiful? Why would you consider it one of the most beautiful towns in South Africa?
You know what? It is so very silent here. It is still nature around you. But the most important part of it is the seaside, the rocks, the godliness of everything and the silentness. This morning we have a bit of a coldish weather. Yesterday we had quite a lot of wind here, but oh, it is just beautiful. Just to see God's beauty and nature and listening to nature. You know, we from Joburg, we don't give ourselves time to really listen to nature and to look to nature. So here it is my space once a year or twice a year, where I come to relax, where I come to rewind my soul and just enjoy everything. It's just so relaxed here.
It must be from what I hear you saying. And this morning I just also had news coming in that the, you know, they have the Cape Argus race, the bicycle race that has been cancelled because of the strong winds. Has the wind settled down or is it still as, you know, gusty?
You know, I'm about 200 kilometers more to the eastern side of Cape Town. Now, yesterday, we had a very strong wind here, and Cape Town had nothing. They had over some places 39 degrees Celsius. Now, today, it's just the opposite. I've got a very soft wind, and they've got a strong wind. So it's never the same on these two towns, although they're only 200 kilometers from each other.
Thank you very much for that. And you, as you're looking out, do you overlook the sea at this moment or not? Are you able to see the sea and is it calm?
Oh, definitely the sea. I'm always looking to the sea. I can come here in the middle of winter when it's raining and just by looking to the sea, it is, I can't explain it in words, but it's working on your soul. And that's why I'm enjoying it. I'm coming here now for 45 years already. From a young child, and we came here during the summer months as well as the winter months, and you can never stop looking to the sea. It is just so strong, so enormous, so beautiful. So it doesn't matter if it's raining, you sit inside the house and you look to the sea. It's lovely here.
I think what you're talking about is food for the soul and definitely something that's very special. Now, you're in a very special part of the country, and that is something that we record, that we normally refer to as the Fynbos area, the biomes, they're so different. Tell us something about the Fynbos, and, you know, it's so special, and it's something that cannot be replicated in any other part of the world.
No, it can be. You know, some of my family is living there near Malmesbury. It's just about half an hour outside of Cape Town, And they've got a small piece of land there with over 400 of different species that you can find never ever in any other country of the land. And what is sometimes I feel quite not so good about it, because some of that species is not in books yet. And when my family is going to die off, there will be nobody knowing about it to book it for us. And there's every year new species coming out. But here where I am now, between the houses, you will see the fynbos, and the colors of it, although it is very dry at this moment of time, there is still the most beautiful greens and yellows in the fynbos. Here and there you will see, I'm looking now onto an orange flower, a bulb that came out. Even in this drought, the felt is busy blooming. So yes, there is something about the Cape Town fynbos that you can find nowhere else in the world. And I love it to look to it. I don't love it to put it in my own garden. I believe even a protea needs to grow where God's put it. And sometimes you find that people put it in their garden and it doesn't really work. And then I feel, yes, it mustn't work. Because it needs to stay where it is. But yes, although it's just bushes that I'm looking to, the colors of it, the textures of it, it's so lively, it's so godly. You can't describe it. You can't put it into a garden.
You know, two things come to my mind. One is that you would love plants to be endemic, and where it's endemic, to live in those particular environments, and you're very much a purist. You don't want it to be sort of mixed up and come and put into another environment, and I think that is something that you seem to come very strongly across.
Yes, yes. I think it's when you lived in this area. I know as a child in August, I go out from into the veld. We lived in Swellendam next to the Breer River and the Rivierzonne End River, looking onto the mountains, the Langeberg Mountains. I walked in the veld during as a child with buckets in my hands, and then I picked flowers and take it to my teachers. That was my childhood. It was special. The veld was my garden. And still, today I see a garden as something that you walk into, something you treat your soul into it. Gardening, the reason for gardening mustn't be to be full of pests and full of problems and work hard. You must enjoy your garden. That is what gardening is about. It's your soul medicine.
I can see the passion coming through, definitely. And now let's just look at some of the other things, Arina. When we talked about, the gust and the winds and, you know, what it is like, it's autumn in that part of the world. You see it as dramatic. You know, when you go to when you go out in the States and perhaps into Canada and into Japan, that's very dramatic. You find the leaves turning from one color to another, crimson, and eventually falls. And it's a longer period of time. In South Africa, we've got a very short period of autumn. It's just some, like, and sometimes a matter of days, you find just, you know, one season, yeah, and the next, you get into the next season. We don't have, yeah, that prolonged period. Does it happen, yeah, in that part of the world as well?
Yes, you know, it is so. Some people have a longer autumn. Sometimes I don't even see our autumn here in South Africa, specifically there in Joburg. What I feel about seasons, my personal feeling about seasons, is God sent us seasons to change, for change to happen. And life without change is very boring. And I feel that we need to have seasons in our soul as well. You need to have an autumn to experience a follow-up as a winter in your soul. And you need to have a winter to get yourself some time to think about yourself and to think about everything in your life, to experience a beautiful spring. My father always said, he was a farmer, he always said, if you don't have a bad year, in reap, you will never have or experience a good year. And that is life as well, and that is nature as well. You sometimes do need to have pests in your garden and in your life to experience the beauty of the follow-up. And that is what I sometimes miss in South Africa. Our autumn is so short that between the summer and the winter, you don't really experience the beauty of the autumn, the beauty of the change. Although I must say this year in Joburg, I could feel it becoming from February onwards in the morning when you walk out, and it's already a little bit cold in the evenings as well. And this last week I saw the leaves start to fall down. So I think our winter is going to be early this year, and it's going to be beautiful and a little bit cold with us.
I definitely think it's going to be a chilly and a biting cold one. But thank you. Thank you very much for that, Arina. Now, you know, we've had also had this tragic or the sad passing away of one of the doyens of garden, especially with alternative health and alternative garden, and it's been Margaret Roberts. Has she been an influence in the work that you've been doing?
You know what? She influenced the whole South Africa and even a lot of people overseas. She showed us some plants that we know nothing about. She brought out the knowledge about herbs, the knowledge about the goodness of herbs, and what it can do for the body and soul. And I really think in South Africa, as gardeners, we would have lost, I would say, at least 40% of our knowledge about herbs and about plants if it was not for her. And even on her last years, she made such a big difference in the way that people are thinking about organic. And she was also still experimenting with organic. But yes, she changed a lot of people's minds about what is real organic and what is the real problem of organic, because we didn't understand it from day one, and I think we were on the wrong path, on the wrong organic path, and she helped us at the end to change that path. I still remember her using something like volcanic rock dust that she put in her garden, and that is something that I don't even think of. Maybe 5% of our gardeners do talk about something like volcanic rock dust. It is a very fine powder of rocks that put back 70 minerals into your soil, and how good that is for your plants and your microbe system.
And looking at some, you know, her contribution has just not been in the in particularly the plants, I beg your pardon, in terms of the herbs, but she had also gone, you know, to countries and destinations far away from our shores, and she came back with plants. I remember speaking to her once, and she said to me about certain plants that she had experimented and brought back from India. There was, you know, something called the neem tree, that is what they call it. I'm not too sure botanical name, yeah. But she spoke about things that she brought from different parts of the world, and she was prepared to go out looking for new plants, and she looked at it from a different eye, like you said. She said, what can we find and how beneficial will these plants be for the body? And I think she looked and she experimented, and she came up with so many, like you said, plants that we sometimes discarded, sometimes we didn't even think it was significant, and she came and she gave us an explanation. I think the world owes a great debt for the amount of information that she has passed on.
Definitely, and I don't think our normal South African person really knows what she did and how long she did good for us in the gardening world. I think we can write more about that and more about it.
And one of the, I know her strengths was when I spoke to her was with regards to, you know, companion planting. She brought to the fore how you could utilize it and what it would be good for and what plants would would do, you know, good, and, you know, would do well with the other plants and so forth. And when you looked at some of the books that she's written, I think it's just tremendous amount of knowledge. Even if you've got to go what she's done, and up to recently, I mean, she was still writing. I know she wrote in the Nature magazine. She was still contributing to lots of magazines, both nationally and internationally.
That's right, yeah. I really think we must do more about her writing. It's for me like, yes, you do read it, but then it disappears for quite a long time. I really think we have to go through her books and actually rewriting it the way she wrote it. But get it out there. Get the knowledge out there. Teach people who she really was and what she really did. I don't believe that somebody dies the day that he's gone. I believe we must look after their knowledge and expand that. And I hope there will be somebody to go on with what she has done and really expand it for us and really bring her knowledge closer to our hearts and eyes. I would really love somebody to do that.
Well, I'm not too sure if her daughter Sandy and the other daughters perhaps were in that path, because I know Sandy was quite, it was, you know, Sandy would always accompany her to venues, yes, and so forth. So maybe she would take up that work. But like you said, she'll be sorely missed then in the world of gardening, in the world of alternate. It wasn't just an alternate health, but it was, I beg your pardon, alternate plant, but also alternate healing. She came up and she said, use this, and this is how it heals your body and so forth. So she's done a tremendous amount of work, and that's at Margaret Roberts. Now let's go into something else again a little bit. You know, last week you spoke about, you've run garden schools, garden clubs, plants, vegetables, medicine, vegetables, and, you know, so forth. So you're doing a number of initiatives. Now we're going to look at one very special one. And everybody said to me last week, what do you mean by medicinal vegetables? I said, look, I'm not too sure what Arina spoke about, but we'll check on that, and we'll find out what she has to share with us. So what we're going to do, we're going to go for an ad break, and when we come back, we're going to take, you know, some of the... we're going to look at what you've spoken about last week. There's been some queries about that. And then especially earthworm castings, I know we need to just check about. Okay, we'll chat about that as well. And then let's see what we can do with medicinal vegetables. And then also, you know, your garden clubs and how does that work. So all of that when we come back. Thanks, Arina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just tuning in. My name is Ismail Viaba. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the medium wave 1548, Satellite Islam, DSTV, and I've also heard that people listen to us via smartphones, so that's fantastic. So we're getting people listening to us through different mediums and different platforms. And we're truly, truly grateful. We've got a wonderful guest, and there's Arina Duvenhagen. I know many of you are still curled up in bed, others out in the garden, and many of you are doing and busy with other activities, but wherever you are and you'd like to join our conversation this morning, 854-1548, if you have any queries, any questions. And Arina, as you know, is very, very passionate. You could hear that from her conversations earlier on. And she does a number of other activities. She runs garden clubs, goes to schools, run garden, you know, little gardens in schools. And she's going to talk to us about something very special this morning, is medicinal vegetables. Now, before we go through onto that particular topic, there's been some queries about what she spoke to us about last week. Hi, Arina. Are you there with us this morning?
Hello, Ismail. Lovely to be here.
Thank you very much. I know you, you know, I'm quite envious, and I think you've been the most, one of the most beautiful part of the world. Yes, and that must be fantastic, you know, sitting out there watching the sea and watching nature. And like you said, food for the soul. Now, Arina, you're doing a number of initiatives, and one of the things that I'd like you to talk to us before we go into the medicinal vegetables is garden clubs. How does that work, and do you go out to all communities or specific communities, or just tell us something about that.
Ismail, I'm busy now with my garden school for about 27 years. I started first to start new garden clubs in Secunda. I lived there for 11 years. And then when I came to Johannesburg, I started new garden clubs here as well. So how it happens is once a month, I go back to each garden club. I've got garden clubs in Standerton, in Bethel, in Heidelberg, in Boksburg, in Midrand, in Centurion. And every day I'm on the road visiting my garden clubs and talking for about 2 to 3 hours with my garden members about what they have to do in their clubs, what is new in the gardening world, and also how to treat their soil. I'm very passionate about soil. I really think it is something that we don't understand yet in South Africa. I've done a study, and we're going to talk about it now, about medicinal vegetables. And while I was busy with that study from overseas, I really understand that we've got a very big problem with our soil in South Africa, and that is the reasons why we have all our pests and problems and dying back of plants. So my passion in my garden clubs is to talk about that and to teach people how to turn their gardens around. It takes me about 6 weeks from having a dead garden to turn it into a paradise. And you don't have to plant it like that. You just treat the soil correctly. So that is my passion, that I go out every day to different garden clubs. And I'm also starting new garden clubs. That's why I'm here in Cape Town at this moment. I'm trying to start 5 new garden clubs here in Cape Town. So once a month, I'll fly back down. I sit every day looking to my seaside, and for 2 hours, I'm talking to people about gardening. That is my passion.
Now, whilst you talk about gardening and you talk, you know, it's your passion, tell us something about, you know, if a person wants to start a garden club, would there be any particular criteria? What would a person need if they want, you know, and could people, anyone join these garden clubs?
Yes, I can start garden clubs in any place. Doesn't matter if it's at a house, if it's at a garden shop, if it's in a guest house, in a coffee shop, doesn't matter. As long as I can get 10 people for me together to start off with and help me to get the place where we're going to keep it every month, even if it's in a guest house or wherever, I just need somebody to start off with the first 10 people. When I've got my first 10 people, then I'll talk to them, and I get them so passionate that the next month we will be at least 20 people. So it's just the start. I just need the connection person to start off, and then we will also give out flyers. I do beautiful flyers that I give out to the people. And before we open our eyes, we have 30 to 40 people joining the garden club. I try to keep my garden club costs as low as possible. And then I also give them a yearly program, so I'm coming back once a month for 2 hours and talk to them about their gardening. And then out of that, I normally found that I have clients that ask me, come to my garden, do for me a soil analysis, tell me how to change my soil, and tell me what to plant where, do a little bit of landscaping advice. So yes, my garden clubs and my landscaping is all part of one big business of Tuin van Eden Tuin School. Now that in English is Garden of Eden Garden School. And my main thing that I'm opt for is to have everybody in my garden club to have his own Garden of Eden, where you can rest your soul and where you can find your peace.
Now, having said that, Arina, when you look at cost, what would it more or less be? Just a, you know, it can be, doesn't have to be an accurate figure, but 100 rand, 200, what would it cost per month?
More or less, it will be 50 rand per person. It all depends on how far I have to travel. If I travel to Cape Town, we will make that a little bit higher, because airplanes are not so cheap these days. But I would rather try and have more people paying less than having less people paying more. So I would say plus minus 50 rand per person per month, just to get my travel cost correct.
And when you talk about, you know, guests, would you be able to do guest appearance? For example, a person has a particular event and would like to invite you for that particular event only. Would you do that type of events as well?
Yes, I do that quite a lot. Like I said, I've got 10 garden clubs that I'm visiting at this moment of time. Hopefully within 2 months' time, I will have 15 with the 5 that I'm taking on from Cape Town. But then the other days of my month, I'm still open. And then I talk to other garden clubs as a guest speaker. And normally they pay me just my fare, just to drive there. It comes up plus minus 500 rand at a time. Also, again, it's about where I'm driving, how far is it away. But also, I love to work with people, and my first talk to a new garden club is just to get that people to start with a new way of thinking, and then it normally ends up having a new garden club or a new garden school in their area.
Thank you very much for that. Now, we've got to go back and we've got some queries. I know last week you spoke about certain things, and I think let's just go back to some of that. When we spoke about the earthworm castings, and somebody said a little bit more information about the earthworm castings, I said, well, if you're going to talk about poo, I don't know if people will be happy about that, but let's talk about some of that.
Yeah, maybe it's not a word that we like to talk about, but yes, that is actually what it is. If we talk about earthworm castings, there is about 600 different species of earthworms, and the earthworm castings that we are talking about is about one specific earthworm, which we call red wiggler. Now, it's a reddish earthworm. It's more flat. It more looks like a nematode than an earthworm. It's not a fat earthworm. But that specific earthworm turns compost or anything organic into earthworm castings. So we have to use the word, if people want to understand it, it's actually earthworm poo. And why that is so good is because this red wiggler earthworm has got a certain enzyme into its body that, let's say it eats something like a leaf or something that's got phosphates and nitrogen inside of it, it turns that phosphates and nitrogen into an iron state, meaning it doubles and sometimes triples the amount of available phosphates and nitrogen. So actually it increases we call it the cation exchange capacity of that specific leaf. So if the leaf had a certain amount of nitrogen in it, it becomes more nitrogen for the plant. But not all earthworms can do that. So you need a certain type of earthworm to make good earthworm castings.
And a question coming through about how much do you need, how much earthworm castings do you need for a pot of, or in a garden, how much would you buy? Would you buy 10? Would you buy it in 10 kilos? How much would you require?
Yes. When you buy it in the nurseries, it's more or less a 10 kg. And sometimes they write on the bag 10 cubic decimeter, but it's plus minus 10 kg. I don't know of any nurseries that's selling it in bigger amounts. I can sell it in smaller amounts, yes. You need, for a plant that grows a lot and that needs a lot of minerals, you can use up to 1 cup of earthworm castings, like around a rose or around a fruit tree. I would say once or twice a year. But for your normal plants like agapanthus and daylilies and so forth, I would say once a year, 1 cup per square meter of soil is more than enough. It all depends if you went through a drought or if you went through a very lots of rain. If it was a normal year, I would say even 0.5 cup per square meter. But if your soil is very compacted, you need more. If your soil has got a very loose structure, you use less.
Thank you very much. I've got a question coming through. The name, I'll give them your name and details, as well as please to join her garden club. So someone wants to know, how would you join your garden club and so forth. So It's Arina Duvanagar, that's her name. And what information do they give them? Give me your Facebook page, Arina. Do I give them your telephone number? What do I give them?
I think the best would be to give my telephone number and my Facebook page, because every month I put on my Facebook page where and when do I have garden clubs, or where and when I do have my garden school. So my cell phone number is 082-331-5.
Hello, have we lost Arina? 082-331-5434. It seems to have lost Arina. Mohammed, have we got Arina online? The number again, it's 082-331-5434, and her Facebook page is Tuin van Eerden Tuin School. Tuin, T-U-I-N, Van, V-A-N, Eerden, E-D-E-N, Tuin School, T-U-I-N-S-K-O-O-L. That is it. It's Arina Duvenhagen, and her address is Tuin van Eerden Tuin School. So that is the information that we have. We'd like to, and she says she updates her page regularly, so that is for the person who's sent the message, and that's the information that we have. We've got her back online. Let me just, Mohammed, have we got Arina back online? Just waiting for a moment to put her back online. Arina, are you back with us?
I'm back with you. So sorry for that.
No problem. I've given them. So it's Tuin van Eerden Tuin School. That's your Facebook page and your telephone number, 082-331-5434. Thank you very much for that. Arina, now we need to go on to, we'll have to take on the queries as they come along. We set out to do something very specific this morning, medicinal vegetables. Tell us about something about medicinal vegetables.
Yes, medicinal vegetables. You know why I started studying that? Is my mother died of colon cancer, and it is the type of colon that goes onto the daughters. So, yes, my possibility is very big. So I decided I must find out why do we have all these illnesses in South Africa, and it's becoming more and more. My son is a homeopath, and he is working sometimes in Soweto in the clinic. And he told me in Soweto alone, 80% of the people that's visiting the clinic is having diabetes. And you know, that is very bad. So I started doing the studies about what is the reasons in our food that we have so many illnesses. And I studied through America and Australia on organic ways of increasing the nutrients in your soil. And then through that study, I discovered that we can actually plant any vegetable, doesn't matter which one. You don't need a certain herb or a certain vegetable to help you medicinal-wise to correct your body. You can eat lettuce. You can eat any salad. You can eat rocket. You can eat tomatoes. It all depends on how you treat your soil. Now, the soil that we have in South Africa, where we're planting our vegetables in South Africa, is so bad and so mineralized that we took all the minerals out of the soil through the years, that we only have left 0.5% of the amount of humus that we need in a soil, or that we have in our soil, and we need 5% of humus. And if you don't have enough humus in your soil, it is impossible to grow any vegetables with minerals and omega 3 and 6 in it. You need to take your soil or take your vegetables through 4 different growing stages to grow a lettuce or a tomato with medicine in it. And with medicine, I'm talking about stuff like you've got complex proteins in it, you've got bioflavonoids in it, you've got antihistamine and antibiotics in it. So you don't have to eat a certain herb to get hold of antihistamine. You can eat a normal tomato and have antihistamine and bioflavonoids in it. And that is what I call the medicine for the body. But the stages of growth of plants needs to be 4 stages. And in South Africa, our vegetables that we're buying on the market only go through 1 growing stage. So we end up eating lovely vegetables, but there's nothing inside of it. And that is the big problem.
So now you're speaking about 4 stages. What would the 4 stages be? I'm just trying to find, an understanding of it. We do not have very much time. We've got about 6 minutes. You know, I'm trying to see how we could try and get that out to our listeners.
I'm going to do it very quickly. Number one, to go through stage one, you need a plant that has enough minerals in the soil. To go through stage two, you need that plant to be in a very highly photosynthetic use, meaning the plant has a balanced minerals, and that's where I'm using rock dust. The minerals are balanced. And then to go through stage three, your plant needs to have a very active microbe system, and that is where I'm using the earthworm castings. Now, a plant that went through a stage two is a plant that's got no insects on them. So whenever there's insects on your plant, you know it's not in stage two yet. And a plant that is in stage three, you will have no mold, no black spot, no rust, no fungi on your plant, meaning the plant could get hold of omega-3s and omega-6 and complex proteins, etc. And then when you take it a stage further, meaning you spray twice a week 12 mix or any trace elements on your plants, you will see that your plant will enter a stage 4, and when it enter a stage 4, then does the medicinal properties kick in. We call it plant metabolites. And when your plant get hold of plant metabolites, there's even not a snail or a big insect or a beetle that could eat on your plant, because plant metabolites is poison for any insect. So by growing this way, you will also end up with plants that got no insects, no fungi on it, just a very crispy, lovely vegetable to eat, filled with properties of plant metabolites, which is your medicinal properties.
If I go through it, so the first stage is minerals, the second one is photosynthesis, so you use rock dust, the third one is an active microbe system, that is why you then put in your earthworm casting, and finally you then spray with something called trail mix, and once you've got that and all the elements are in it, you then have a plant that have all the medicinal properties. So it doesn't matter what the plant is, it doesn't have to be a specific plant. It could be any plant, but if you follow these 4 stages, it would have nutritional value and medicinal value to the body.
That's right, yes. And then you will even stop using blood sugar pills, high blood pills, any pills that you would normally, chronic pills that you would have used after a while of eating these vegetables, you will get rid of that pills. And that is what's so excellent.
So if I understand, what you're proposing is that we've got to get our soil right. So that is to ensure that the minerals are in there. And once the minerals are in the soil, then you then go to the second stage, which you then make sure that photosynthesis, and you'd add the rock dust. And when that is done and that settles, you then go on to the active microbe system, and that is putting in earthworm castings. And then finally, you'd stay with anything like a trail mix and so forth that would add all the other elements in it. And when you get that, you would then get a wholesome, edible plant, you know, whatever the fruit of that particular plant is, and that is what
yes.
you would get.
And okay. filled with the medicine that you need to correct your body with, to climb off all your pills that you're drinking.
Thank you very much, Arina. We've got a couple of questions that have come in. I don't know if we're going to manage all of them. Let's try. Okay. We'll have to come back to this conversation. I know it's at the end of this particular one, but we're now coming to the end of the program. It's citrus season time. Tell us something about watch points for that particular fruit.
Are you talking about citrus trees?
Citrus trees, where there could be lemons, limes, oranges, clementines, whatever it is. All those,
yes.
You know.
Most important, if you want a citrus tree with no pests on it, you use the same system that I've just talked about. So you start by putting rock dust around it so that you have at least 70 minerals in your soil. Then the second thing that you do, you put a cupful of earthworm castings around your soil. That earthworm castings, the bacteria and the fungi inside of it, then will go to the rock dust, the 70 minerals. It will eat it, and it will break it down for the plant to take it in. Then if you do have a lot of pests on your citrus tree at this moment of time, I've got an interesting spray that I make to spray on it to kill all that pest. I mix 5 mils of Scrubs ammonia you can buy in Pick and Pay next to all the cleaning stuff. 5 mils of Scrubs ammonia, 15 mils of Epsom salt, and then 15 mils of apple cider vinegar, and I mix that with 1 liter of water, and I spray it on my leaves of my citrus tree wherever I see any pest on the leaf, and it will kill that insect, but also it will give a certain amount of nitrogen to the leaf, ammonium nitrogen and iron, etc., and that will turn the color of the leaf from yellow to green, and it will also help the plant to form blossoms, because it put the plant into an iron state, an un-iron state, and it increased the amount of blossoms that you have. But now the most important thing is when you do have blossoms on your tree, when it starts forming, stay away now from this spray, because the next stage is going to be to form a citrus fruit from that flower. And whenever you spray this mixture on the citrus fruit, it just aborts the citrus fruit. So I want you to spray this on to kill the insects and also to help you to form the flowers. But when you have the flowers, please stop spraying it. Otherwise, you just abort all your new fruits that just has been formed. And then a last thing that I'll do, just when the leaves are falling from the trees now, the trees in your garden, take that leaves and put a thick layer of leaves over everything on top of your soil, and you will have the most lovely citrus fruit during the winter months.
Thank you very much, Arina. Unfortunately, it's gone on to 9 o'clock, and we'll have to leave you there, but we'll chat to you again in the future. You take care. Thanks for all the information, and thank you very much for sharing with us. I must say we've learned so much, and we're going to be troubling you very much more often to talk to us about some of the alternative and some of the remedies that you've given and you've shared with us. You take care. Enjoy the seaside. Enjoy Cape Town. And when we check in next time, we'll speak.
Ismail, have a lovely day there in Joburg.
Thank you very much. You take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, that's Arina Dubenhaker, and she was talking to us from Cape Town, and she's given us some information. If you need any further information, you could call me on 854-7022. You take care. Until we meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.